Welcome back, my friends, to the fun that never ends. We're so glad you can attend. Step inside to the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on westbranchfootball.com.
Like a glove did that fit for our intro, Matt. Speaking of like a glove, West Branch football fits at the Little Rose Bowl, a.k.a. the Butch Peterson Field at the Little Rose Bowl
on Oliphant Street. Don't forget that part.
Is the official name now. They fit, those two things fit together like peanut butter and jelly. But they play well there, Matt, and they did last Friday.
Yeah, it was a 52-14 butt spanking over North Cedar.
Is that the direction we're going here?
I mean, I'm just spitting facts.
52-14, and oddly enough, it started out, we'll say slow. Mm-hmm. For the second consecutive week, the Bears had a turnover on their very first offensive play.
Yeah, I heard you in the press box there say, "Oh, here we go again."
Here we go again. Yeah. No, I was only saying that as a reference to a turnover on the first play. It's not really, we would call that an ideal beginning to a game, but the finish, as we said, 52-14, was ideal because the Bears got a W. And I tell you what, if you had any of the West Branch Bears players on your fantasy football team this week, you probably had a pretty good week. Not that there is such a thing as high school football, fantasy football.
Pretty sure that'd be illegal.
That would be illegal. And a few guys, for instance, Matt, Bo Cornwell, 4 touchdown passes. Tanner Lukowski, 150 yards on what, 6 carries? We'll get there. Brett Sheely, evidently he had a decent game. We'll get to him as well. But, Matt, I love homecoming week. I think it's a great thing. The kids really have the opportunity to express the fun of the high school experience through spirit of their sports teams and every other activity that's going on, and then have a dance to top it all off on a Saturday night.
Yeah, it's a fun week. I know there's a lot of stuff going on throughout the week in terms of different themes every day as far as kids dressing up in various outfits to meet the theme and that kind of stuff. I remember it from high school, and it was a fun week. It was just kind of something different to break the normal, Monday through Friday every week kind of set of events that happens during the typical school year. So it's a good time to kind of get a relief from the monotony that is of just going to school every day, really, and break it up a little bit. And there's always the stigma that it's going to distract players and they're not going to play as well Friday and all that kind of stuff. But I think that turned out all right.
Yeah, the distraction level, I think, has diminished over the last 15, 20 years once technology began to rear its head into the world, because they already have enough distractions on iPhones and iPads and Fortnite and such.
You're saying we're getting better at being distracted?
Yeah, I think that would be a fair assessment. Whereas back in the day, we could say, Matt, homecoming had a little different feel. It seemed to me that it was a little bit more exciting time when I was younger because, well, we didn't have internet. We didn't have cell phones. We just had something to look forward to besides in between classes saying hi to our friends. That's enough for me. And homecoming week had a lot of other extracurricular activities that, unfortunately, we won't go into because they have nothing to do with football. But, Matt, how about from a statistical perspective, a scoring breakdown? Let's just wrap this present up and put it under the tree, as it were.
Sure. So, first quarter, each team traded possessions. And as you mentioned, on the Bears' first possession, they fumbled. Well, it wasn't really, and technically it's a fumble, but North Cedar guy just ripped it right out of Brett Shealy's hands. That's what it was. So, yes, it goes down as a fumble, but I can't really call it a fumble.
He stole it.
He stole it. Yeah. Right out of his hands. But second possession for the Bears still in the first quarter. Cornwell found Wyatt Goodell from 19 yards out to put the Bears up 7-0. And then later in that quarter, Cornwell got another touchdown pass, this time to Brett Sheely. A beautiful throw into the northeast corner of the Little Rose Bowl from 21 yards out to go up 14-0. Second quarter, North Cedar got on the board. Saar completed a pass to McCullough for 16 yards. However, they missed. The PAT was blocked by Evan O'Neill to make it 14-6. However, the Bears responded well as immediately as you possibly can. Brett Shealy took that kickoff 82 yards into the south end zone of Butch Peterson Field. And there was a great block on the play by Devin Camacho, who we will hear from here in a little bit. So that was 21-6. Also in the second quarter, Tanner Lukowski, who just had a wonderful night running the ball, as we'll probably get into here again. 54-yard run, I believe it was just kind of right up the middle of the field into the south end zone. 28-6 at that point. Still in the second quarter, Tanner Lukowski again finds the end zone, but this time on a pass from Bo Cornwell from 20 yards out, 35-6. I missed that one because I was getting myself a steak sandwich.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
You were just getting steak. You didn't need the
That's
bun.
That's true. I was just getting the steak, but it was presented in a sandwich form.
Yes, it was. And yes. And to your credit, as a good friend, you offered me the bun.
Yes.
And I graciously turned you down.
But I bet it was delicious, to be honest with you. So 35-6 is where we stood at halftime. The Bears got the ball to start the second half, and first play of that drive, Cornwell found Wyatt Goodale just a seam route right down the middle of the field, wide open, 70 yards to go up 42-6. still in the third. Bear with me. We have a lot of scoring here. Cornwell, 23-yard field goal right down the middle to make it 45-6. And then Brett Shealy, once again, found the end zone on a special teams play, this time on a punt return from 74 yards out to go up 52-6. And the final score of the night, North Cedar, Timms, is that how you say his name?
Timmis,
1 yard rush, just kind of a long North Cedar drive right down the field, punched it in from 1 yard out, and they also had the 2-point conversion to make it 52-14, and that was the final.
All right. Matt's going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break, going to get a glass of water, and get a little nap in while we finish things up. And, you know, while he does that, I tell you what we will do. You gave a lot of stats and a lot of great individual performances to make a team win come together. One of those was from Bo Cornwell. One of those was from Tanner Lukowski. And certainly will not go without mention. Cannot go without mention that one of those was from Brett Shealy, who was the Bearcast on WestBranchFootball.com player of the game. And we had a chance to catch up with him after the game. Here's what he had to say.
Player of the game, Brett, you scored a touchdown different ways, receiving, kickoff return, punt return.
Yeah, I saw a hole on both returns and hit it. I saw that big block by Dakota on that punt. I was like, crap, that's a block in the back. But we got lucky there, I think.
Well, we're glad you're not wearing a black and white shirt tonight.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, good. Well, how much time do you spend practicing on the punt returns and kick returns in practice?
Usually it's just once every practice. And then I've been struggling the last few years getting one in. And then we finally got one a couple weeks ago. And then once the ice broke, it just kept on going.
Very good. And, of course, now I understand, too, special teams, you score a couple touchdowns. There's going to be donuts tomorrow practice. Is that right?
Kevin told us we had to get two since we got one the first time, so we're getting donuts.
Well, I did see the text from his wife. She's already got the donuts ordered.
Oh, that's good.
Well, again, congratulations, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Brett Shealy, our player of the game.
Well, now that Matt's able to refresh, was it good? Was it purified? What, good water, Matt, or just straight off the tap?
It was sparkling water.
Of course.
Yes.
I just can't get into that. I tried, and it's not my cup of tea.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I mean, I have the Soda Stream. I don't ever put any flavors in there. I just do it for the carbonated water.
And if you guys would like to sponsor the Talking Bear Football Podcast, please let us know. We're right there with you. Mm-hmm. Soda Stream. Proud sponsor. No, I'm just kidding. And Also after the game, of course, a very happy Butch Peterson.
Coach, congratulations. First team win for yourself since the field's been renamed in your name.
Yeah, it's an exciting thing for the whole program, I think, and especially the seniors. You know, we wanted a big game tonight for the seniors on their last homecoming, and I think they did a good job.
They certainly did. You mentioned to the team before the game and your pregame meet with them that you wanted to play a lot of players tonight.
And we got a lot of players in, a whole bunch. And that's good to be able to do that. And the second team deserves a lot of credit. They get beat up every week in practice, but yet they're still out there battling. And every time we get a chance to get somebody in, we're going to do that. And I think that showed tonight.
That's a hallmark of your team. You told the team that you got three games left in the season, but we got to play them one at a time.
That's exactly right. You know, we need, as far as I'm concerned, we have to run the table and make the state tournament, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Well, very good. Congratulations, Coach. Enjoy the win. Get them next week.
Thank you very much.
Coach Peterson, always flavorful. Even kind of cliche at times, but that's why I love him. You know? And then there was one more. Let's just do it all. Yeah. Here's your interview potpourri basket, Matt. I'll let you take care of the last one.
Sure. For our the Bearcast Uncommon Player of the Games presented by the Hoover Presidential Foundation, Jerry Flagel talked with Devin Camacho. Devin, we decided to talk to him because of a pretty big block that he had that I mentioned earlier on Brett Shealy's kickoff return for a touchdown, which you can see in the highlights on westbranchfootball.com. So here's Jerry's interview with Devin.
Hoover Presidential Foundation Uncommon Play of the Game. Devin Camacho.
Yes, we do have our player for our Uncommon Play of the Game. And of course, the reason we're naming you for the Uncommon Play of the Game was the block that you did to Spring Shealy on the kickoff.
Oh, the one that was over here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just blocked him, basically. That's all I had to do.
Oh, you're too modest. We noticed it right away.
Yeah, I just got to get the job done.
Well, very good. Well, and obviously you got a chance to play some more tonight, too, and I'm sure that makes everybody happy.
Yeah, it made me happy, too.
So my understanding on it is now special teams, they score a touchdown. Special teams gets donuts tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yeah, if we score two touchdowns, special teams get donuts.
Oh, so there's going to be plenty of donuts. I better stop out of practice tomorrow.
Yeah, you might want to.
Okay, very good. Congratulations again for our uncommon player of the game.
Thank you.
So for me, when I hear uncommon, speaking of uncommon, and then we'll close the books. Uncommon being Brett Shealy and his kickoff return for a touchdown and punt return for a touchdown in the same game.
Mm-hmm.
How uncommon was that, Matt?
I don't think anyone's ever done it.
Not at West Branch.
From our memory.
From our memories. And I went back through what I could find through about 1978, and I can't find anything. Hmm. So that's 40 years, so we'll call it. And then to add into that, a reception touchdown. I would go on a limb and say that hasn't happened much in the state of Iowa over the last 20 years.
If only he had a defensive touchdown, he could have completed the trifecta.
He had the trifecta. He could have caught I don't even know what it's called, four of them. The quadfecta?
Well, the exacta? Are there four phases of the game? There are only three phases of the game, though.
There are, but there are so many different ways.
That's true.
I'm waiting for someone to get the fumble return and interception return touchdown.
And punt and kickoff and catch and rushing.
You catch that with a touchdown pass thrown in and then kick a field goal, and you might have yourself something that no one else has ever done.
Yep.
52-14, the final, Matt. North Cedar, homecoming week. It's over. Before we turn the page completely, how about a District 4 check-in?
So Bellevue defeated Dyersville-Beckman 42-7. Cascade defeated Northeast Goose Lake 57-20. And, of course, West Branch defeated North Cedar 52-14. So how our District 4 standings are looking. Bellevue and Cascade are at the top at 2-0 in the district. Their records are 6-0 and 4-2, respectively. Dyersville-Beckman and West Branch are at 1-1. Their records are 3-3 and 5-1, respectively. And then North Cedar and Northeast Goose Lake are 0-2. Their records are 1-5 and 0-6, respectively.
And just fun, because I love numbers and math, Matt. I don't know why, but I do. You add up the scores from the three losing teams last week in District 4, and they still wouldn't win. Add them all together, and they still wouldn't have won a game. So the teams are putting up a lot of points for a victory, but they weren't giving up very many either.
Yep.
Special in the month of October, usually the Bears, the team is always willing to do something for their community, always willing to do something to leave a mark, Matt, to leave a legacy, just to leave an impression of positive news on the community and the world. And the month of October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Matt. And I know the Bears have decided to do something to pay respects to that...
cause.
That cause. Let's go with that word. Then what is it?
Yeah, so the team is going to be wearing pink and black socks, as I believe they have done before throughout the month of October. It's just a great way to recognize, as you mentioned, Breast Cancer Awareness Month being in October. And throughout the years, you know, various team members, parents or grandparents have been affected by that terrible cancer. So the team is doing that to just kind of recognize all of those who have either been, you know, made it through that process or unfortunately have passed away due to breast cancer. So it's a great way to recognize them and kind of have a little flair within the uniforms as well.
Well, that's outstanding. I would say not particularly outstanding thus far is the Bears' next opponent. Well, Matt, let's transition in to week seven. The Bears 5-1 will face the Northeast Goose Lake Rebels 0-6 on the season as we bring in along the podcast voice of the Bears, Stephen Gray. Stephen, why don't you close up what your thoughts were from last week's game against North Cedar, and then we'll really dive in to next week in Goose Lake.
Good bounce back for the Bears, kind of like we talked about last week. You saw some flashes from North Cedar. They played hard the whole game, just not quite where they want to be. And so the Bears really just focused on themselves, took care of business, and that was a fun homecoming win for the Bears. Had a lot of nice plays, got a lot of guys out there. It was kind of crazy as I was tallying up the stats at the end of the night. It's like, man, we have hardly been out here offensively, and we still had 460 yards of total offense or whatever it was. So,
what, in the first half, we only had the ball for like 4 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
3 minutes and 38 seconds, to be exact.
Yeah.
I mean, if you also look at it, I mean, Tanner Lukoski had, what, 6 carries for right around 150 yards.
Yep. Brody Hawtree. All in the first half.
Yeah. Brody Hawtree for North Cedar, you look at him, if you were to have this stat line, most teams would be like, hey, that's a pretty good night. I mean, he had 22, 23 carries and a little over 100 yards. It was just, you know, he had 5 times as many or 4 times as many carries and still fewer yards than what Tanner had. So, it was a game that the Bears should have won coming into it, and they stayed focused, took care of business, and hopefully can continue that here this week going on the road for another team that's kind of struggled a little bit this year that, you know, hopefully we can continue to improve and build on some of these things.
Lifetime in the history of the Northeast Goose Lake series, West Branch has 5 wins. Northeast Goose Lake has 2 wins. Their 2 wins coming in 1998, 32-28 over the Bears, and in that wonderful game on Halloween, as it were, in 2003, on a Friday, Halloween, 13-12, the Rebels beat West Branch in the final game of the regular season. And then they would go on and play 4 or 5 days later on a Wednesday night back at Goose Lake in the first round of the playoffs. The Bears came out victorious 14-2, boys, en route to their first semifinal berth in 11 years. So, guys, on paper, obviously you see the records and you think, oh, this is going to be one of those games that all West Branch should control it. But they don't play games on paper, huh?
No, they don't. And Northeast, they've got, and I didn't have my notes in front of me because yesterday was a crazy day, but quarterback had over 1,200 yards through the first five games. As of yesterday, they didn't have quick stats updated. Jason, you may have it there.
They have it now. He's just shy of 1,400 yards so far for the season.
And then their top receiver, I know he's 13. I can't think of his name right now. But
Dawson Stoll.
Stoll, there you go. I should remember that. There's a wrestler that's pretty good over at Iowa with that name. But really? He had 40 catches. How many did he have this past Friday night?
He had eight.
So he's at 48 receptions. That's eight catches per ball game that he's got.
Mm-hmm. And 15 yards a catch, almost 16 yards a catch. So
yeah, so, I mean, he's a dynamite receiver. And looking at their offense, you know, their scheme, you know, it's a lot of, it feels kind of like the old West Coast. You know, it's a shotgun spread, but it's just a lot of, let's run some flat routes, some quick slants, some underneath. You know, he's the Jerry Rice of the 49ers. You know, he's the guy that find a way to get him the ball and let him make a play. And he's one heck of an athlete that can do it. And so, you know, the Bears are going to really have to keep an eye on him. The running back's not shabby either. I mean, you look stats wise, he's pretty similar to kind of where Hawtrey was, and watching him on tape reminds me a little bit of him there too. Just, you know, hard-nosed guy. He's not going to go down easy. He's really, you know, an aggressive kind of player. So,
yeah, Dakota Stevenson, yeah, through the six games, he's at 524 yards on just over 100 attempts. So that's good for 5 yards a carry, and he has seven touchdowns as well.
Yeah, so, I mean.
But outside of that, there's no other rushers on the team.
It drops way down from there. So, kind of like we've said before, you know, if the Bears can really stay focused defensively, force either some other guys to beat you, or really just eliminate the damage, you know, when they do throw it out to Stoll, whether it's getting him out in the flats, if they're trying to go route of some sort, however they're doing it, make sure that they can limit the damage. Don't let them get those big plays and, you know, make Northeast put together a lot of drives to be able to beat you.
Yeah, I think this is going to be kind of a high scoring offensive based game, just because, I mean, if you just look purely based on stats, just on paper, you look at Northeast stats, and you'd think that they're a team with a great record and high flying team, very successful. Just with the stats that we looked over, you know, how could they be 0-6? It's kind of a questionable thing, and so you got to look at that and think the defense. So that's a good opportunity for the Bears to just kind of really hammer down and put some points on the board, and hopefully our defense then can put a stop to the Northeast offense, because it doesn't seem like many teams have been able to.
Looking back, and you know, I'm the geek that I'll jump onto Quick Stats and look at the opponent's stats and get defensive stats, and based on my numbers, Northeast is giving up about, I think it was about 375 yards rushing per game. They're giving up well over 40 points per contest. About 3 weeks ago, I don't remember who it was against, but they gave up 600 yards on the ground. So Tanner Lukowski and that offensive line really need to be licking their chops saying, wow, let's see what we can do to make some hay here this evening.
Yeah, they're almost giving up 44 points a game.
Quarterback, we talk about that he has 1,400 yards, Matt, you mentioned.
But seven picks.
But he's got seven interceptions. Turnover prone.
Yeah, you have to assume that that's the reason why they're only scoring 20 points a game, is there's some inopportune interceptions there to really kill some drives.
That, and I look at it like another thing. A telling stat to me is this. Steven, you say you're the numbers geek guy here. I'm going to give you some numbers. 61 rush attempts, negative 108 yards. What does that mean to you?
That means the O-line is not giving protection.
That usually is exactly what that means. So there within perhaps lies another issue, maybe as to why he has seven interceptions this season, is that perhaps the protection is breaking down and he's getting rushed into some throws. Mm-hmm. Well, and his arm might be falling off too, since he's averaging almost, 35 passes a game? 30, 35 passes a game. I mean, oh my goodness, if I throw 15, I'm ready to call it a day.
Yeah, 32 passes a game. Yeah.
That is crazy. Just to put that in perspective, guys, Nate Lange has thrown 190 passes this year. Before the 2015 season, that would have been a single season West Branch football record. And he's done this in six games.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Bo Cornwell last year threw 265. This kid's going to go by that by, heck, maybe this week. If he throw, you know, 75 passes, that's not out of the realm of possibility. No, but we've said this throughout the season, guys, and I'm sure Matt and I said it on a couple podcasts that there's no doubt the Rebels, they want to throw it everywhere, every inch of that schoolyard, of that football field. They're going to try to throw a ball in there. You got a guy with 48 catches, a guy with 27 catches, a guy with 23 catches in Brandon Hoyer, who the Iowa football team likes. He's been there to visit twice. He's a fantastic athlete. He's a high jumper that goes around 6'8 in the high jump. He's about 6'3, 6'4 kid. I mean, we can get the exact. He's 6'4, 195. He high jumps 6'8, as I just said. So athleticism, not his problem. And he's not even their leading receiver.
Yeah, Jason, you and I talked about this on halftime of the Bearcast. You know, we saw North Cedar in the first half of Friday's game. They were throwing the ball quite a bit and having some success against the Bears defense. And you and I were talking about how that's going to be an important piece for the Bears to shore up this week, because as you just said, Northeast is going to be throwing it all over the place.
And the thing that sometimes we overlook, and this is not a knock on Evan O'Neill at all, but and for all intents and purposes, he's basically our third string cornerback at that spot. I mean, I think he's kind of the second string guy behind Shealy, but he's had to move over because we've had injuries to Thomas Gould, who was anticipated to start there. And then Jack Robertson got hurt as well. So, you know, that kind of plays into things just a little bit when you've got a guy that has played well in the past, but he's still, you know, not necessarily the top guy that we've got on our squad. You know, don't get me wrong, he's not been playing poorly, but it just makes things a little bit easier, maybe open some things up for some teams, especially that are doing a lot of passing.
Just to follow up a little bit on Braden Hoyer's athleticism, in basketball last year, he averaged just shy of 13 points. Track and field, if you go to their individual by teams, it gives the fastest times on the team. He led the team at 200-meter dash. He's a 23-second kid. Just around 53 seconds a 400-meter dash guy. And as previously mentioned, in the high jump, 6'8". He is a wonderful athlete that you'll have to keep an eye on. And that's just, and where I'm mentioning him, and he's nowhere, again, nowhere near the leading, the most popular favorite, whatever word you want to use, target of Mr. Lang. That's crazy to think that. So, looking back at last week, Matt, we'll dive into our picks to click. And you tell me what happened last week that everybody wins because the Bears won. But I have a weird feeling when I look at this list of whose score was the closest.
Yeah, Steven got it.
You're darn right I did.
56-13 was his score, so he was just 5 points off.
On the total, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I had 49-7. Jason, you had 63-0.
Coming to Vegas with me this week.
We also had a listener write in this week, Nathan Anderson, and his prediction was 49-7. So
he close. Was close.
That's
was
exactly what I said. Yeah.
Piggybacking off Mr. Chenander.
Yep.
Why the heck not, right?
Yep.
He is, after all, the technical director of this whole ship, this whole rocket ship. Steve, did Gregory Norfleet write in this week?
He did not. We didn't get an email from him.
Wow.
It's a little
disqualification for the week? Sorry to hear. So I just moved in the top four. Yes. How about this week, guys, on the road, a fairly long drive against a team we've chronicled is going to throw it at West Branch. And some teams have had a little bit of passing success against West Branch. But I don't know if Northeast Goose Lake has seen the pass rush that West Branch is going to put on. Tyler Bailey's defense has been very, very strong up front. Jeff Bowie, Tanner Lukowski, John Hatfield, Drake Bloom, among others, have been very, very strong with the pass rush this year, and maybe that will wreak some havoc on the decision-making of Mr. Lange, guys.
Who's so, first this week?
I'll say Matt's going first. He hasn't gone first, I don't think, all year.
You know, earlier I said it could be a high-scoring game just because of how potent the Rebel offense can be, but, you know, you guys point out that that offensive line could be giving them some troubles, so... But I think the Bear offense is kind of, I think they found their groove again there against North Cedar. So I'm going to peg them for 56 and Northeast 21.
Okay.
Jason.
I'm just going to go right with it and say 55-27. I think the Bears, I don't know. I hope and want and think, sorry, here all at once, that the Bears are going to get up early, and then maybe towards the end of the game, Goose Lake starts throwing in some touchdowns to make it, the score look a little bit more closer than perhaps it is. But I'm not going to, I will preface it or preface it by saying I am a little fearful of the amount of points that they could probably put up if they get a zone, get into a rhythm, a tempo. Steven.
I'm along those same lines. I was actually almost going to take that 56-21 that Matt had picked, but, I'm going to go, let's keep the 52 trend from last week, but I think we might give up, 23 points, 52-23.
All right.
We're all pretty close.
Now pick to click from last week. I had Bo Cornwell, Matt had Trey Eagle, and Steven had the thumb, Wyatt Hamby.
I was thinking that he would get in and get some stuff, and he just never really, I mean, like we said, we only had the ball 4 minutes in the first half and still put 35 points on the board. So
yeah.
It just didn't go the way I anticipated it.
I mean, but the Bears won.
Special teams anyways.
The Bears won, so we all won, but I think we got to give it to Bo.
Of our
selections. Nathan Anderson also had pick to click. He said Bo Cornwell as well, with three touchdown strikes to Eagle, Lukowski, and Thompson. Tanner will rush for 150 and two tutties, which is pretty on that.
Right on the number.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did he say six carries, though?
He did not say six carries.
I thought if he pulled that one off, I'd be pretty impressed, and I'm going to call him and Nathradamus after that.
Yes.
So, Matt, first pick, first chance to dance is in your corner.
I think this game's going to be a Zach Thompson coming out party. I'm picking him.
Okay.
I think this game's going to be a Zach Thompson party. I'm picking him.
You can't Steven? Do that.
Echoing here.
You can't do that.
Well, I thought we'd go with the trifecta. Everybody gets the same. Bears win.
No, that's boring.
All right. Well, you know, the last time we had a win streak going, I was predicting taking a different guy on the defense. Well, we started this one with Bo Cornwell. I'm going to go with Bo Cornwell again this week. Got to keep the trend, Matt.
You can't do that. You can only pick him once.
Is he he's on the Bieber one-time list?
Yeah, we've discussed that numerous times, yep.
I know. I was just trying to see if it was a week seven. Since it's week seven, I thought
Steven,
I might get a break.
Steven, that's a Jason Miller rule that we have in effect here on the show.
Yeah, many rules. Many rules of that affect my picks.
It's kind of like our fantasy league. It's exactly. Like Jason Miller rules.
Yeah. I will take Brady Lukowski.
Okay. I'm going to use my Jason Miller rule. I'm going to take Tanner.
One time.
I have not picked him yet.
Time.
This is my one time.
Man,
I think
he looked
just
good Friday.
Yeah. I think he's going to have a good night. I think have a feeling Northeast is going to kick away from our guys, so we won't have the opportunities, special teams-wise, to get the returns. So I think that'll set us up with some opportunities for Tanner to really pour it on a little bit.
Yeah, quick shout-out, guys. You say Tanner. Todd Pope, a friend, comes over every year from North Central Illinois to watch a West Branch football game. simply because a couple years ago he read an article on CBS Sports saying the field you need to visit before you die in Little Rose Bowl was on that list. So now he comes over once a year. Last week he was here for the homecoming game, and on the field he wanted to meet Tanner after the game. So he did. He met Tanner, and he said, "I'm calling you the gravedigger, because when you go to people, you put them in the ground when you run at them." So I thought that was pretty funny. So,
Jason, speaking of Little Rose Bowl kind of making a list, the Des Moines Register came out with an article this past week talking about the top 10 football stadiums in Iowa, and the Little Rose Bowl made the list.
I'll be darned.
It was a neat little thing. And Stephen, I think Jerry made this comment during the Bearcast, but he said, "I bet we're the only one that still has portable bathrooms."
Yeah. Port-a-pots.
Yeah. Portalets. Well, let's wrap things up here, guys. Friday night, another one of those J of varsity-only contests. Mm-hmm. So pregame will start for you fellas on the Bearcast, Stephen, at around 6:30. Does that sound fair?
That is accurate.
Everybody's going to be around. Hopefully the gang will all be there. Mike Quinlan, sideline Jerry Flagel, and technical guru, and whatever else you want to throw at him. Matt Shenander will be in the house. And so the folks that don't want to make the 80-mile trip, they can listen to you guys live on the air. How can they do that, Matt?
By visiting westbranchfootball.com about 30 minutes before the game starts. So right as our pregame starting, you'll see a big red banner at the top of the website that says the Bearcast is live. You can click that and be taken to a page that has the player on it, so you can listen to the broadcast as well as a live scoreboard. Or if you're not on a computer, you can also download the Mixlr app, M-I-X-L-R, from either the App Store or the Google Play Store, and just search for West Branch Football on there, and you'll be able to listen into the broadcast wherever you may be.
Wherever you may be.
And well, as long as you have an internet connection, that is.
That's true.
Because we're not technically on the air.
No. Well, you know, you can listen to it on your phone if you've got a good data plan as well.
Exactly.
Data. You say data, I say data. And Stephen, I know your favorite portion of the program here, you love to read off the sponsors list.
Hey, because we love those sponsors, because without their support, we wouldn't have the capability to make that 80-mile trip up there and bring the game back to you guys on the web at the Bearcast without having this financial support. So I think the weather's supposed to be decent, maybe a slight chance of some rain. So if somebody's like, I'm just going to stay home and listen, well, it's thanks to these sponsors. That includes Liberty Communications. They are our presenting sponsor. Let's see, Corridor Drywall. We have Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants. We have EMS Detergent Services. Let's see. How about Hodge Construction? We've got Main Street Suites. We've got the Fullwider Insurance Agency, Barnhart Custom Services, the West Branch Times. And a special shout out to the Sheely family, because their donation has helped us with our hotspot to ensure that we have a solid internet connection on the road in particular. So
yes, and there's a special list of member of the FDIC. Community State Bank is also involved.
Yes, and the Hoover Presidential Foundation.
And how could I forget the HPF, sponsor of our uncommon play of the game.
Yeah. That's, I bet that sideline Jerry, that might be his favorite. Seems like that would be his favorite segment that we do. I don't know why.
I'm not sure why. Yeah.
I'm just throwing.
Especially when he interviews the kids and they're like, what?
What? Huh? Well, okay. Social media. We're on the Twitter and the Facebook and the Instagram and on YouTube. At WB Bears Football is Twitter and Instagram handle. Facebook is just West Branch Football. And YouTube, the West Branch Football channel, we'd like you to subscribe. And why would they subscribe, Matt?
Well, because they get instant notification of any time that we add a video.
Very good. I mean,
that's just a good reason.
maybe the, just as simple as that.
That's all it is, really.
That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's an inch, the 6 inches in front of your face. So, you know, this worked last week. How about Matt? We'll start with you. We'll start pep with talk. You this week, and Stephen, close it up.
All right.
Pep talk time.
This is the time. We're in the last third of the season. This is the time to get to really start putting everything together. You got to shore everything up on defense. Really take what you've learned for the through this first two-thirds of the season on offense and really start to hone in on the craft, making sure passes are crisp, catching those passes, blocking your right guy, finding and running through the right lane on defense, making tackles, reading the quarterback, reading the line, just everything that you've learned throughout practice in the first two-thirds of this season really needs to now start coming together. And not just for this week against Northeast, but next week against Cascade, week 9 up at Dyersville, and then hopefully into the playoffs as well. So this is really the time to put it all together and be a great team.
Stephen Grace.
I got goosebumps just listening to that, so I don't know what to add to it. But I mean, I think, yeah, just the main message to get across would just be, you know what, guys? Yeah, there's a chance if we stumble one more time that we could still make the playoffs. But treat every game like we're in the postseason, that we have to fight and claw and scratch for every yard that we gain, every yard that we are going to stop. We just need to play at our top each and every week. Doesn't matter who is across from us, whether it's an 0-6 Northeast team, whether it's a 6-0 Bellevue team for a second time. Whoever it is out there, we have to take care of our business. We have to stay focused on all those little things Matt talked about. Just make sure that we get the job done on every single snap of the play and go from there.
That's right. We don't want them to gain another yard, you blitz all night. I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. They might gain a yard or two. But fellas, I don't know about you people listening out there. If you aren't up for this game now after listening to Mr. Chenander and Mr. Grace, you don't have a pulse. Because they got me fired up for this one, and we're 5 days away. So, not much else to...
Jason, what, do you hear Matt? That in the background?
I hear it.
It's Avicii.
Avicii. Get it up, baby! It's kickoff time! All right, for Stephen Grace, voice of the Bears, and Matt Chenander, technical guru extraordinaire, Jason Miller, we're signing off on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
Take care, everyone.